And you're welcome back to the programme. The time now is 25 minutes to the hour, and I'm joined on the line now by Liam Horan to talk career matters. Liam, good evening to you.
Good evening, Eden.
And you're very welcome as always. A couple of matters to be addressed this evening. First of all, from LD by email. Last week I attended for interview for a marketing role and felt I did well. I'm a new graduate and it was my first job interview this morning. That obviously the following day, I got an email from the employer thanking me for coming along. She asked me to email her back confirming that I'm still interested in the position. I'm definitely interested, but found this to be an unusual question. Surely the fact that I turned up for the interview shows that I'm interested. How should I reply?
Well, first of all, I suppose what LD needs to accept is that you go with whatever recruitment methods the employer wishes to deploy. Until it gets to the point where you feel it's not feasible or logical, so I would think that while it might seem like an innocent inquiry from the recruiter here, I suspect it's not, because yes, to reiterate what LD says, the fact that he or she turned up shows that they're interested. So I don't really think that's what the recruiter is looking for here. In fact, I think they're probably testing them on their communication skills, how they're going to, how well they write, what sort of sentiment they put into the reply. And I know personally, and I've done this on a number of occasions, I read a great deal into communications people give around the recruitment process. So the quality of the reply, the fact, do they use your name? Do they put a capital letter on your name, for example? Do they, you know, go a little bit further to make it easy for you to contact a referee? So the whole communication wheel supporting recruitment is very important. And I very much feel that this recruiter is probably doing that. It's just creating a little, small little challenge, very, very simple, just to see how they go about that. So I would say, and this is for a marketing role, so, you know, a marketeer should be a very good communicator. They should be able to turn engagements into prospects, so to speak. And if there's 5 spelling errors in the reply, that might be the most damaging part of your application. So I think that's the first part of it. And the second part, I would say, is that if you go for a job interview and you feel you've got on well and you feel, you know, enthused about the job, you know, the next communication back to the company should probably reflect that growing enthusiasm. So every time you engage with the company, you should be kind of raising the stakes a little bit to say, you know, yes, very keen, delighted to meet you, all that kind of stuff. So I think there's a great deal more to this apparently innocent request by the recruiter. And in that, I think there's great opportunity for LD to display, as I said, good communication skills, good attitude, enthusiasm, and also giving the nature of this being a marketing role, a kind of a growing sense of engagement or involvement with the company, because that's what marketeers do. They reach out to people and they engage with people and they communicate. So I think that LD can use this, and I hope it's not too late for this inquiry to go back, but LD can use this to further their candidature here very subtly and very effectively.
Well, obviously, you're the expert here, because when I was reading this earlier, and it shows my naivety, I just thought that the employer wanted to make sure this individual was still interested, simply because weren't going to call him back for another interview if they weren't.
And there may be a certain amount of that, and even if that's true, and let's just take it, and I suspect it's not true, okay, but let's just take it that it is true, the opportunity to do what I've just said still exists anyway. Do you know what I mean? There's still an opportunity for you to communicate in a very effective and engaging sort of manner, you know. So the opportunity exists either way. But I think that my hunch is it's not as innocent as that, because, you know, the interview was only yesterday. The person turned up. You know what I mean? By and large, they're in the game then. And very rarely do employers come back to check, are you definitely interested? It's kind of presumed you are until otherwise. So, and even, you know, if they just wanted to bring them to the next stage, it's very easy to say, well, the second interview is on next week, at which point LD could say, well, I'm no longer interested. So they were going to get that turned down at some point anyway. So you don't need to go looking for the turn down, if you know what I mean. If you're an employer, you don't need to go looking. Somebody will tell you, I'm not going to turn up for the second interview. So I think it's more than likely a little subtle test, but whether it is or not, the opportunity exists to turn it into a point scoring exercise for LD.
Just before we move on to the second issue that we're going to discuss this evening, Liam, what you mentioned there earlier, the importance of correct spelling in a letter, pronunciation, but knowing where to put your full stop or your semicolon or any of that sort of thing. How important is that?
I'd say never more important, Aidan, because of the way in which communication has become text speak and abbreviation and involving images and emoticons and all sorts of things that we get in our emails and text messages now. And I'd say, you know, it's probably well established that the whole grammar world is not as good as it was once upon a time. And if you're looking for somebody to market in this case, you want to make sure that their communications with the greater world out there are properly punctuated, properly structured in a grammatical sense, and are engaging or persuasive as well. You know, if you can't write a few lines of an email to help sell yourself into a job, well, how are you going to help sell my business to a radio researcher or producer or whoever else you're trying to get through or to get through to?
And I presume that applies both to the spoken word and the written word.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we all know the standard faux pas of grammar that people make. I think that probably the diminution seems to have taken place in the written word. Most people can still talk very effectively, but when somebody's forced to sit down and write something, how well can they do that? I would say, particularly in marketing roles, is hugely important because, you know, as I said, lots of people can talk well but not write well, and in a marketing role, you will be required to write well, and in lots of roles, you'll be required to write well.
Now, let's move on to the second issue from VC, also by email. I'm applying for jobs for which I'm overqualified because work in my main sector, accounting, is gone very quiet. I generally get called to interview and feel I do well, but I've not got a job yet. I know I could have easily been a success in many of the roles. Any thoughts?
Well, the first thing I'd say is, and again, you know, we're acting off a few lines of information, but I suspect that the whole area of being a flight risk is what might be at work here. Overqualified people use phrases like being overqualified, for example, which may well be the case here because they say that they would have been a success in many of the roles and they feel that they're overqualified for the role. But what does overqualified mean? Ultimately, I believe that the employer feels that because you're overqualified, you will get bored, you'll get offered something else, you'll only see it as a stopgap. So really what overqualified means is flight risk, that somebody will invest 6 months in you, train you up, get you tuned into how the company works, and then you'll move on and go down as a wasted 6 months. So really what this candidate needs to be doing is convincing the employer right throughout the whole process, most notably in the interview, that they're not a flight risk, that they are quite happy to work at this role. And, you know, there are lots of people out there right now who have, you know, stepped down, for the want of a better word, one, because of personal reasons like family and stuff like that, or location. Secondly, because of the economic downturn, people, this is the era where people have taken on other jobs because they have to step down a little bit. And it may be that in interview that this candidate is not convincing them that they're not a flight risk. So nothing wrong with saying in an interview that you're, you know, really committed to this role, would really like to hold on to really like to get into this role, prove your worth. And you can always do an internal flight, so to speak, where you can move up through the ranks within the company. A company would deem that to be a good use of 6 months or a year or 2 years. So I think restating your commitment to the job initially and to the company, all else being equal, is what this candidate needs to do. You can well understand the plight of the employer who finds themselves doing what I said earlier on, putting a lot of time into somebody, only to find that they're gone out the door just when they're getting into their stride or shortly after getting into their stride. So I think that's the issue this person needs to address. I think overqualified is a kind of a conduit to the phrase flight risk, and that's what I think they need to attack in future job interviews.
Very good. And of course, you can understand the employer's point of view. He doesn't want to have to perhaps have further interviews again in 6 months' time, having trained the person,
correct,
made them even more employable perhaps, and suddenly gone.
Yes, absolutely. It's a nuisance for the employer. And, you know, I always think it's a terrible pity when somebody who is good enough to the job, to do the job, perhaps too good to do the job, doesn't get the job because of that niggling doubt. And employers would conclude sometimes, well, you know, this person says they want it, or this person is the right person, but should they be gone in 6 months? So, candidates should often think about the discussion that takes place in the room after you've left the interview room. So what are they going to say? And if in this person's case they're talking about the flight risk, you know, that candidate needs to have said something in the interview that gainsays the flight risk. And it's up to you as a candidate. Don't expect the employer to make arguments for you. You've got to make your own arguments and make your own points in the interview.
Very good. We have to leave it there, Liam. Thank you very much indeed for joining us on the programme this evening, as always. And we'll have the final discussion on issues of career and interviews and all of that this evening week at the same time, 5:30.
Thank you very much, Aidan.
Thank you, Liam, and a very good evening to you.